Before long, we'll be where it would have taken mankind millions of years of learning to reach.
And what will Mitchell learn on getting there? Will he know what to do with his power?
That's the big agenda here, is undermining the whole idea of journalism, and that's the real thing to worry about.
The good old Ministry of Truth has another outlet.
Too often, broadcast radio insults your intelligence instead of respecting it, improving it, challenging it. But not here. Where knowledge is power, this is Powerful Radio. This is 30 minutes of information and inspiration. This is the Ministry of Truth. Hello and welcome to the Ministry of Truth. I'm Mitchell Stepanchik. In this episode, we feature the second part of a recent three-part roundtable about Chicago police torture with a group of Chicago political activists and relatives of torture victims. The roundtable was recorded on Sunday, January 9, 2011, and offered commentary related to the January 2011 sentencing of former Chicago police officer and convicted torturer John Burge and related issues. The full audio of the roundtable is online at the website of the Ministry of Truth at www.szcz.org. The following excerpt features two community activists, Tamika Irby and Mark Clements, and three relatives of torture victims, Armanda Shackelford, Michelle Martin Howard, and Berta Escamilla. With this entire suite of affairs of what's been going on here, I'd like to try to get a sense of the scope about this. Burge was in office going back to 1972, but what exactly are the scales regarding time and the number of people who've been involved, not only in the community inside, but also the number of people who we think have been tortured? Anyone know?
Oh, it's hundreds.
Hundreds of people have been tortured.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Okay.
People that haven't even stepped forward, they're so scared and terrified, they haven't even stepped forward. But as the years are going on, as people since the campaign to end the death penalty started, the death row 10, a lot of people have been stepping forward, telling them, these are the same officers that did the same thing to me.
Pardon me for asking, what is death row 10?
Well, it's it's a group that started in the penitentiary that Stanley Howard actually started up.
Wow.
It was going to be the Burge's death row 10 or something like that, but it changed to the death row 10,
mm-hmm.
although it was 12 people at the time. Okay, and he had questions, but the one that answered it was the campaign to end the death penalty, Marlene Martin. She is the CEO of the campaign in the death penalty.
Is there any sense about how long this has been going on? I mean, we at least to the 1970s, perhaps earlier. Is there any sense of the scale of the timing of when all of this began? Or has been going on, maybe always?
It's like 2 years after Burge became a police officer, right?
No.
The tortures occurred almost immediately once Burge left the military. Burge left the military approximately in 1970. He joined the force in 1972. And in 1972 is when the first claim of torture was documented to Anthony Seton Holmes. And because of this torture occurring, many people did not believe what had transpired. And I'm pretty sure Bertha has some things that she can add on this.
Bertha, please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Bertha Escamilla. I have a son who was not tortured by Burge, but by his detectives. He has spent 14 and a half years for a crime he did not commit.
What is your son's name?
His name is Nick Escamilla.
And you were saying he's jailed for things he didn't do?
For a murder charge.
Please elaborate.
A murder took place, and a young man was killed near Curie High School, and they said there were two people that were involved. They actually arrested three of them, and all three of them were found guilty. They were never there. My son was taken to the police station. They broke into his house. They ransacked his house. They told his wife that they would bring him back. She called all different stations to see where he was at. They told her he was, so they lied about it. And finally, after being beaten up, threatened that if he didn't cooperate, that they would take his pregnant bitch, which is his wife, and they were going to put her in prison, and they would, she would have the baby in prison, and they would take away their 2-year-old girl. So with that, my son, well, as I said, he was beat up and that, and couldn't take, when he, they said they were going to do this to him, he signed a confession. There is a pattern of that, of other guys that I have been in touch with. I have been in touch with several men who have these same police officers, Kenneth Boudreau, John Helleran, and James O'Brien. And I've been in touch with them. I've been on this for like 18 years. And I have a list of people who have these police officers. And there's so many patterns of threats, but particular about what they would do to their children or their wife or girlfriend. So there's a big pattern with that. That came after John Burge was fired. So it didn't stop when John Burge was fired.
When was this again?
My son was arrested on February 10th, 1993.
Okay.
So yeah. When Burge was fired, it still continued. These officers were well trained. They worked under John Burge, and it went on and on and on. I have people who have been arrested by these police officers up to 1998, I believe, 1999. There's so many that we still don't know about, okay? And a lot of them don't know who to get in contact with. Their remedies have expired. They don't know who to go to. They've written to attorneys, organizations, and to let them know what's going on, what happened to them. And yet there's still people that don't even contact anyone because they feel like it's a waste of time. So Burge just did not do this crime himself. I mean, one person could not take out the box or whatever things he did to these people. He had other people, and as I said, he trained these people. So Burge should be sentenced with the highest sentencing that there could be. I mean, it's not one person that he tortured, okay? There's hundreds of them that we know about. Maybe he didn't do all of them, but his men did. You know, and if there's a list of people from the special prosecutor report that has been given an interview or complaint, their police officers are on the list, so those police officers should be indicted.
What happened with Nick sounds to me like it's the manifestation of, I guess, what you might even construe to be lazy police work. Rather than trying to find out exactly who had carried out the murder, oh, we'll just tag Nick here with this and threaten him to sign a confession, and we'll be able to increase our incarceration and conviction rate from the point of view of the police.
Well, this is what they do all the time. If it was so easy for them to have evidence, they would have the evidence to bring in court. Instead, they go and force you to make a confession, because that's what they had on my son, was a confession. Okay, there was no eyewitness, there was no weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in every case, if it's not a confession, it's an eyewitness who was beat up, tortured, threatened, or whatever, to say that you were the one who did the crime.
And in instances like this, it sounds like it's the only thing pinning them down.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Amanda.
Also, when my son was arrested, I didn't know. I was not informed. He was not allowed to call me. The way I found out that he had been arrested, they had arrested another son of mine. And he called me and told me that Gerald Reed had been arrested.
How much time had elapsed between when it happened and when you found out? Any idea?
I'm not for sure.
Are we talking maybe days here? Weeks?
It was days.
Well, still, you know, not hearing from a son from where you knew for days.
Right.
You know,
and see, at the time it happened, he wasn't living with me. When I did find out, my son told me to go to 61st Street, 61st and Racine. When I got off of work, I went to 61st and Racine. They had moved him. They said they moved him to 31st and California.
Mm-hmm.
The next day when I got off of work, I went to 31st and California. They moved him again, but they wouldn't tell me where he went.
Mm-hmm.
It was about maybe a week after that when I found out they had put him at 26th and California. But I feel like if you feel that this person actually did it, why cover it up? Why keep pushing him from here to there, not letting the family members know where this person is at? If you're doing the right thing, it shouldn't be no problem with anyone finding out. But then they said that he was allowed to call me. He did not call me.
But to no fault of his own.
No.
Of course not.
I have a problem with the police department as of, they got this sign on their car.
to serve and protect.
Yes. But who are you protecting? You're not protecting us. Because now most of us are afraid of the police. I feel like you're protecting yourself. Anything that you don't feel like you want to clear up or do it the right way, you go out and make up something on somebody because you don't want to do the legwork. But you get paid. You got a job. That's your job. But then to keep from doing your job, you go out and pin it on somebody else. And I have a problem with that. And not just because of my son, anybody's son.
Yes. When this happened to my son, when he was being interrogated, the police officers told him, I've been on this case for 40 hours. And he says, you're going down today. He says, I'm not going to work anymore. He says, these are 40 hours that I have been working on, meaning that he's been looking for other people,
right?
I'm assuming. But they told my son, we're tired and you're going down. You're either going to sign that confession or we're going to go and put your wife, your bitch, in jail. And she's going to have the baby in jail. And that he told them, there's so many things we can do to you and nobody would know about it.
And meanwhile, activists are working nonstop for decades to try to clear their name, get some modicum of justice, trying to bring indictments against the people who enacted this torture.
What I don't understand, certain police officers have been in the newspaper with series of cases that were rejected afterwards because of new evidence or because of whatever, and they were found innocent. If these men, after spending so many years in prison, are found innocent, are able to come home, why can't anything happen to these police officers who tortured these men, who lied? As a governor, as a person who works for the governor, how can they allow these police officers to stay on a job? You know, I mean, they've been sued for so many years. Why would you allow people that are causing suits and having to pay so much high settlements because of what you did. Okay, why do they allow them to still stay in a job like that? Why aren't they arresting them?
Michelle Martin Howard.
Again, I had forgot to even mention about the judge that they gave Stanley. They gave him a ex-officer that worked with John Burge as his judge. And they gave him 50 years for this case, 50 years for that case.
55-0, not 15.
No, 50.
5-0, okay.
Yes, 50 years for this case, 50 years for that case, 28 years for this case, 7 years for that case. And it was like, they didn't want it consecutive. They wanted him to do one 50-year, then another 50-year, right. And then they put him on death row, was going to execute him for murder that he didn't even commit. After they found him innocent after 16 years, they won't even consider that time that he served on death row for almost 17 years. So, as Miss, I can't never pronounce
her name.
Escamilla was saying, why aren't they, even though they didn't pay all these millions and millions of dollars out to these, the four people that they let out, Governor Ryan, when he let out the four, he pardoned four people, mm-hmm. which was Madison Hobley, Leroy Orange, Stanley Howard, and
Aaron Patterson.
And Aaron Patterson. Mm-hmm. Okay, after he let them out, then they didn't pay them these millions of dollars of taxpayers' money for what the police, they should have took their pensions and paid mm-hmm. these people. That's how I feel. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Take their pensions and pay all these people that they done tortured instead of taking the taxpayers' money every time. So I don't care how much money you give somebody, it doesn't take away the pain that they've caused them.
Tamika Irby.
Yeah, speaking of pensions, something that really bothers us is the fact that John Burge is still receiving over $3,800.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And in Florida, no less.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And not to mention that most of us, when we get sentenced, us normal people, once we get found guilty, we are immediately taken into custody. Mm-hmm. This man was allowed the opportunity to go back home to Florida. Mm. And not only was he supposed to be sentenced November 5th, but they continued his case until January 20th. Which we will be there, and I hope everyone else who's listening to this program will be there on January 20th to see John Burge get sentenced. And we're just wondering exactly what type of sentence will he get. I mean, he's been given special privileges since the beginning. And just to piggyback on Mrs. Shackelford about her about police supposing to serve and protect, I think that this is the main reason why there is such a disrespect in the African American and Latino community towards the police, because this constant culture of police brutality. You know, when we know that the police that officer friendly put a gun to my brother's head, or when we know that officer friendly put a typewriter cover over my best friend's head and made him pass out, then of course we're not gonna trust the police. We're not gonna think that they're here to serve and protect. And that's not to say that there are not any good police officers, because there are plenty, and we are acquainted with plenty of good police officers. But the point is, when you have these type of officers that cause torture, this is the results. It's major bad blood in the community, and the community doesn't trust the officers. The whole thing is, we need to recognize that these are not only torture victims, but these are victims of crime.
Right.
These are crime victims.
Yeah.
How come they're not being reimbursed? I'm sorry, not reimbursed, but restitution. Mm-hmm. How come restitution is not given to them? You know? And there's a bill, HR 5107, that states that crime victims are afforded retribution. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How come? They not only that, but when we have like soldiers that go out and they're prisoners of war, they're tortured, mm-hmm. and they go through all of these psychological issues, they get counseling. They're afforded the opportunity to get counseling, mm-hmm. whether they take it or not, you know, I'm not sure. But how come the John Birch torture victims are not granted any type of counseling?
I'd like to turn, there's been a lot of, I guess, heavy words that have been said at this, but understandably so. I'd like to change the topic a little bit to something a little bit more optimistic. It seems like that whatever justice that can be brought to bear, whatever justice can be brought to bear on questions about seriousness regarding police abuse and torture and related matters, that it sounds to me like that I'm relying on, you know, prosecutors within the local government authority, or anything related to some kind of authority to try to bring some justice, it seems like never work, or just stall and stall and stall, and oops, the statute of limitations has expired, can't do it anymore, sorry. But nonetheless, it seems like that when people come together and share involvement and their own experiences and have worked together in whatever formal or informal settings to work to bring the issue to wider audiences and some measure of justice can then be accorded. And it sounds like that kind of community involvement has been the only thing that's been paying off on this regard. What are your thoughts regarding this question?
Mark Clemens. Well, it is very true. Had not the community got involved, there is a great possibility that John Birch would never have seen a courtroom. Sad to say that because the statutes of limitations have expired upon the tortures, it's very little that can be done to rectify and bringing the other cops, other than I would think 8 particular officers who lied in a particular deposition. Other than those 8 officers, the others will walk scot-free. This should be an insult because young children was affected. Besides myself being 16 years of age and my genitals grabbed in squares, there was a 13-year-old child who described that he thought that he would die. Mr. Marcus Wiggins. This is things that our society has grew to ignore. Half of the people in society today don't even know about John Birch. Mm-hmm. And I find this to be a great insult because this is the Holocaust of the African-American community. This slaughtered young men, incarcerated young innocent men forever. Will these young men be released out of prison and they will be haunted for the rest of their life in job markets, not only in job markets, but even if you exonerate it, people still look at you as you committed this crime. Mm-hmm. So we need a lot to get done, still not today, because our lawmakers, from the city council to the Illinois House, Illinois Senate, they have failed us. We have had governors that have been less than ideal. People looked and they called Ryan the worst of the worst, but Ryan really did what was right. So it makes me wonder. The African-American community was screaming and screaming for decades of years that Democrats was the way to go. Well, now we find out something different, that the people who are supposed to be our enemies are the ones who's giving us the relief in this here. Republican judges are releasing the inmates. Democratic judges is shutting the doors on them. So it's making me wonder, is this a party line concord, meaning being in accord, to make sure that these men don't get relief by the Democratic Party. That is what I'm thinking. Egan was Democratic, okay? Your mayor, Richard Daley, Democrat. Your special prosecutor, Noodleman, Democrat. Lisa Madigan, Democrat. Anita Alvarez, Democrat. See, now the Republican is the only one who is giving us some relief here. So it makes me wonder what is going on in the people's minds, because we need a shakeup, and we need a shakeup to save these young children and to save these young men that are languishing in prisons that should not be there. The Gerald Reeds, the Claiborne Smiths. We need individuals to Stanley Rice, Stanley Howard. These men have been granted relief, but our court system, in Stanley Howard and in Stanley Rice's case, they still keep these men incarcerated. You know, I had to fight like a dog, and most people fail to realize my true passion for the mothers of torture victims. It's because my mother, I would be still in prison had not I had one voice. And that was my mother. Most of these men, that's all they have is one voice, and it comes through their mothers, their girlfriends, or their wives. So my whole true compassion is seeing additional indictments, not only seeing additional indictments, but seeing the appointment of a new special prosecutor who can dig deeper and to show continuation of tortures after John Burge was terminated from the Chicago Police Department. Because their tortures, literally as we sit here and we talk about this, there's tortures going on in Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, Area 4, and Area 5. Police stations. And it's not happening to the rich. It's happening to poor people who cannot afford adequate counsel. These men are in prison. Half of them don't even have an attorney. This outrages me. And every city official, if you look at me as a troublemaker, or maybe what they call it, a troubleshooter, I will be even worse, starting in April, due to the fact that the agenda has been laid before all of these, of the city council. The agenda has been laid before Illinois lawmakers. Now it's really time that we step forward and that we begin to individually, because we can't beat them as a group. But if we take them on one by one, we can take them down.
Listen to all past episodes of the Ministry of Truth online at www.szcz.org. That concludes this episode of the Ministry of Truth. Special thanks to Mario and the staff of WHPK Radio in Chicago. Thank you for listening.